each turn is so uncertain, yet I learned to walk by faith. You gave me a promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guard me, Lord, I do believe. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will flow. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. If your plans for me are perfect, I never need to fear. Though at times I feel alone, I know that you are near.
I'm spot up here and say, someone left this little doodad up here. You know, it's a little ring of some sort. Oh, is that yours, Nathaniah? No, it's Well, yeah. Elisha, is your little ring? Ethan? No, I'm glad it ain't. No, what's up here? One of the little kids figures out who it belongs to. Looks like something got the gumball machine. I'm kind of hoping we could find another lost and found spot besides the pulpit, but it seemed like Dad enjoys that. You know, I think he likes doing that. I don't know. But I'm glad to be back amongst my friends and family here. And even though we got several that are gone to the convention center, and Dad and Cindy and Nathan and Ruth, and is that where Sister Inez and Lynette and Caleb and Rachel, or just Caleb go? They just went the opposite west way. One went east, one went west, two went west. And then they left you stranded. Or sane, one or the other. Well, they got a lot of young ladies over in Cisco, I think. And so we've got several that are gone. But we're all here, and we're all come together to worship. And I didn't have a lot on my heart today, but I thought, well, I wanted to get up and welcome everybody anyway. I had I was sitting here thinking about the state of the world. How much Christianity in itself has changed over the last century. Went from a very, very superstitious religion in the United States to there are a lot of changes. There's a lot of things they don't believe anymore that they believed when you were in religion, Brother Durham. It's becoming more and more popular to discard a personal devil and even a literal hell. It's become very, very more popular in religion. And even that with that doctrine of falling, that the church is going to fall away, I think they're moving away from that, from people that I've talked to and listened to, and that they see, starting to see some, God's dealing with their minds out there, and according to what we've all heard all of our life, that would have to be so. That's got to happen at some point. That their minds would have to be changed, and their way of thinking. In Romans it says the invisible things of God are clearly seen, can be clearly understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power, and being clearly understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. The Declaration of Independence starts off talking about the God of nature. And the natural laws that there's certain inalienable rights, there's some immutable truths that they've seen through nature. And so I'm always, I believe nature is the best evidence of God, you know, that we can see. It's something we can clearly see. And it's becoming more and more understood. Something happened this summer that didn't really make worldwide news. Very few people heard about it. But if you're looking for it, you can find it. I love, even though I have a very limited knowledge on it, has to be very dumbed down for me, quantum theory and quantum mechanics, physics, so to speak, how the universe is made. There was a man that was in Brother Mears' church debated with Brother Mears on the creation. And he didn't believe in a 6-day creation. He believed in the Genesis creation, but he didn't believe in a 6-day creation. And Brother Mears believed in a 6-day creation. And he asked Brother Mears one time, he said, in the Garden of Eden, or wherever they were, they had trees when Adam was there, or even before Adam was there. He said, if you cut down one of them trees, would it have had rings in it? That's what he asked him. So it had rings in the trees to show the age of the trees. Well, Brother Mears would kind of agreed, yeah, there would have had been some rings in the tree. He said, well, then I'll give you this. And then God created this world with already a history in it. He said, so I'll give that to you. If you don't agree with me, we'll have to agree that there was some sort of history in the world. And God could have created it that way. That's as far as I could go with you. Well, I found that an interesting thing because I think it's good that somebody at least puts thought in trying to understand God. And when you listen to physicists talk. There's a lot of misconception about men like Einstein. You know, one of his quotes was about atheism, and he said, "I hate it when I don't mind them saying this. As I just don't like them attributing those quotes to me." In other words, I didn't say that. He said, "I'm not." I read several quotes. He's not an atheist. Wasn't sure how and who God was to his own admission. Either A, he was a deist, or B, he was an agnostic man. But I've read a lot of interesting quotes he said about God. But a lot of the things back he thought of and came across with mathematical equations found out later to be true. He was right about them, you know. And there was a a man in the 60s, a physicist named Higgs, that scientists had this problem. They understood that things had mass, and they knew how to measure mass, but they didn't know things how it got its mass. And they had a problem. How does this equation get? Well, it's just this one guy said it's a theory. We'll probably never figure it out. No, for sure, but it's a theory I have. And he had a mathematical equation of how he come up with this theory, and it's how his theory was that it's how the whatever particle interacts with an energy field. There's an invisible energy field everywhere, and how a particle reacts with it gives it its mass. Okay, I hope I'm not losing y'all on this. You know, whether it's a oxygen molecule or something bigger. You know, gold, or whatever kind of atom it is, it gives it its mass. And so, well, Brother Durham, when did they come up with the super colliders? When did they start building those atom smashers? 70s. And so this summer in July, and they call it the God particle, but they really, that was just a nickname somebody gave it. They've got in Geneva, Switzerland, a particle accelerator, which they can send particles molecular level and speed them up and make them collide and have an explosion, so to speak. And then it's tests that they do so they can see what happens. And in this test, they discovered that this Higgs field really does exist. That we're, the best way they could, the whole universe is sort of like being in a pool of molasses, that it's all around us and everywhere, and how things react on them with this field determines its mass, even down to the smallest particle of that field being a Higgs boson. But y'all can go on the online and just read about that. And because I had to go down, I found some really complicated ones. It was over my head, and I found a guy like, well, he wasn't Bill Nye the Science Guy, breaks it down for little kids, you know, where I could understand it. So, but I've been thinking, as we see that the universe is bigger than we ever thought it could possibly be, it keeps getting infinitely smaller than we thought it would be. You know, when I was in school, the smallest thing that they told us about was, I think, the electron. It's the smallest thing that I ever remember. And now these kids probably here probably learned about what quarks are in school. And I'm not even sure what that is, but I've heard about them. Did they teach y'all that in school, what a quark is? Yeah. So I didn't know what a quark was. Now they're talking about, they talk about all kinds of things. They're discovering science. But just to prove that, you know, if I'd walk in and for the first time I seen one of these iPads, it's a very complicated machine. I sit here and I opened up and I looked at it and somebody made this. It's come from somewhere. Somebody made it. Right? Delicated piece of equipment. Very complicated. Took a screwdriver, started taking it apart. Wow. I wonder who come up with this. This is neat, but I don't know. I didn't know there was a Steve Jobs or an Apple. There's something to do with an Apple. I don't know. No, this didn't evolve from an Apple. I don't know. I don't know where this came from. I wonder who it is. So you start taking it apart, and you start dissecting, and you're thinking about it. Well, this got a screen on it. No, it's got these little doodads in here. Now I start finding every little piece of, and I don't even know what to call them. I may call them doodads and whatnots. That's all through this thing. But inevitably, it didn't just show up. It will magically appear. And I believe it's the same principle with God, that we understand that this world in its full complexity did not have just arrive. Nothing from nothing, we already know, equals nothing. Or zero plus zero equals zero, is that right? And whatever times zero is zero, even negative times zero is zero. And something come from somewhere. So that leaves it to, there has to be a creator. There has to be a creator. And then now we're dissecting and trying to understand who this creator is. What is his character? And we have a lot of different thoughts in this world of who he might be, or what he is, what his character is. And we've arrived at a conclusion that started way back 2,000 years ago and has changed. We call it the Reformation, the restoration of the church, and it all comes down to the understanding who God is and what his character is. And you can't understand purpose unless you understand character of who he is. What is his purpose? What is his purpose for you and I? Until you figure out what the character of he is. And so that's what we're here every week. trying to learn about. Well, who is God? What is His character? What is His purpose? What is my purpose? And I think that is a noble approach. That you're just not, oh, you know, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever it be, it will be. I don't know. There's people you meet out here. I don't know how it is. I'm just going to live my life, you know, without ever trying to understand the purpose for life. So I'm just grateful to join together with my brothers and sisters and friends, my church family, to keep looking for that purpose. Keep trying to understand God's character and kind of understand His purpose more and more. I think it's a wonderful thing. I wanted to take up prayer requests today, and we'll keep praying for Sister Wilkins and pray for DJ. Those who may have not heard, he was in an accident Thursday, was it? Thursday, yeah, and he has a fractured vertebrae. And he has to wear a back brace for 8 to 10 weeks. If he doesn't wear it and he doesn't do what the doctors tell him to do, he could suffer some permanent damage. But if he does what they tell him to do and wears the brace, he should be fine. But that's got to be pretty painful, being that restrictive. Can't move. So I know he would desire us to pray for him. Sister Elsie. What was the second part? All of the kids. Okay, yes, Brother Randy Ratliff, he's home now, but he's in a lot of pain. So I know he desires our prayers there. And Sister Donna. Dylan needs prayer. Okay. Anybody else? Pray for everybody traveling home tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Sister Joanne and her mother. And who? And the Dotson family as well. Keep, you know, having. So those are. Yeah, we mentioned Sister Wilkins. So. Aaron needs prayer. And where's a hand? Where? Sister Julie? Her son Joe is suffering from a very serious sinus infection. He's got his ears messed up. He can't hear out of one of his ears. I'm having trouble hearing today. Pray for my hearing, my ears. All right, let's take these needs before God and receive the offering as well. Yes, somebody said, thank you, Lord. I give you thanks, Lord, today for everything. Help us know your character. Find your will, Lord. Find your purpose. Gather more and more understanding, Lord. We just give you so grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Each one that name is going to touch your Mel Randall, Sister Wilkins, DJ, Mother Sick.
Bible says the path of justice is a shining light, shines more and more to a perfect day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there's some of the lessons that Brother Durham was speaking of, and then Brother Mike's talking about how, you know, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some men just grow in knowledge, and, which is good. You know, they're seeking something, aren't they? And they have a desire to find out just how it is. And that should be our desire too. Of course, in the things of God. And then sometimes the natural does, you know, is a picture of the spiritual and everything. So I thought, you know, Brother Durham was talking about the, gave a little church history, you know, how the white horse, you know, it, I'm not sure, I may have to be corrected. I keep calling it the early rain church, and that might not be proper anymore. Yeah, but you get the meaning, you know, the first church.
That's the right church.
And you know, and then as time progressed, the early apostles, they went off the scene, and the church went to a not such a glorious time at the time. It wasn't, it had the same glory, and lost something. You know, things were lost, you know, the knowledge and understanding and wisdom was being lost a little bit there. It just didn't have the same thrust of power and glory there, and of course it was, we knew it was prophesied from the scriptures there. It was, you know, it said this is what's going to happen. It wasn't, and how do we know that? Because men have studied the scriptures, and they can, you know, look back and what does that mean? Red horse, white horse, red horse, you know, black horse and pale horse. What does that mean? You know, well, God revealed things to us, even though it was an event that happened back in. At least now we kind of know, you know, what the scriptures mean. You know, it's church history basically is what it is, and how the church fell away and became it brought in the what they call the Dark Ages, and you know, there was a lot of ignorance there of the Word of God, you know, and someone was asking me the other day about that, and I said, well, I said, now we do have this picture. Now this is not in the scriptures now, but it's kind of a mirror scripture, you know, because the Bible says, you know, who's this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, and then, you know, we've heard through the years how, you know, now we're coming out of the wilderness. Now we got the dark horse coming out and the red horse and then the white horse. Well, there's no scripture for that I can find. Unless, you know, not mention horses, but it's a kind of a conclusive story. That, you know, restoration since we went into the wilderness, we're coming out now. And especially since we can look back and we can see highlights of the reformers like Martin Luther and the Wesley boys and, you know, and those people. There were other reformers that, even before Martin Luther, but there's high points too that, you know, that really made a mark in the religious world, and we see those things happen. And so knowledge was increasing then at that time. That was all in God's plan, and during that time, as far as the natural, now here's, you know, the church took a stance at the time. When I say the church, you gotta have the understanding of what I mean at the time period. And when I say the church said the earth was flat. Then the one fellow come along, was it Galileo or somebody, or who was it that said the earth was round? I figured that out. One of those guys that, in history, antiquity. But do you know, and he was right, wasn't he? But you know, on that point, the church excommunicated that feller. What you mean the church is round? I mean the earth is round. It's flat. Look, I'm walking. It's flat right here. Nerve of this guy come around and saying the earth is round. Well, who do you think he is? You know. And so with that in mind, we have learned that we can't just nail everything down and clench it over all the time, can we? So we have to, as Brother Linger said, blessed are the flexible, because they won't get bent out of shape, you know. So we have to, you know, there's things that Brother Durham mentioned some doctrines. He and I'm going to speak. You know, he said that, well, we got them kind of nailed down, but I think there's still some things that could be adjusted. You know, I mean, I think the basic outline of what he said is correct. The basic foundation of those doctrines is correct, but there's because we know that we. Brother Linger did that. Brother Smith does that. You know, we believe it this way, but there's maybe some adjustments here and there to refine these things. So, in other words, we want to hold on to the truth and have understanding, but at the same time realizing that there may be small adjustments here and there. Because that's what science did. That's what Brother Smith was saying about science, wasn't he? He said, well, they, you know, we realized that, you know, in his day that it was electrons, and now we looked a little bit closer in, you know, and that's what it takes, take a little bit closer look, doesn't it? And Jesus said that. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, you know. And he was just saying, you need to take a little bit closer look at that. And is that what we're doing? Or that's what our endeavors is to become. I'll say it this way: the cutting edge of Christianity, and have, you know, seek those things. In other words, search out the matters. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Psalms that talks about, you know, searching out matters and not, you know, just having a shoot from the hip judgment call and all this thing. You know, we need to back up. You know, I found out that, and this is my nature. I know some people, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying, you know, sometimes it's needful. Certain people have different way they do things, you know. And some of them, let's nip it in the bud right now, you know. And I've done some of that, you know. I believe it's needful in certain things. But what I've learned is, finally, you know, if you see something, when you see something that's not right or not, you know, you say, well, let's, you know, you're not sure, it don't seem right. But I've noticed if you give people enough time, you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves, won't they? I mean, they absolutely will. And I didn't have to say nothing about it, you know. It's just, hey, you made your bed, you sleep in it, you know. Or, I guess I should say, now that you see, let's see if we can help you out of that, you know. Also, I want to have that part. Don't we all? We want to be that good Samaritan, don't we? And not just, you know, just cause they're a dick, just don't kick it down there deeper, you know. and that's what Jesus was trying to show those religious leaders, some light right there, wasn't he? He said, look, and he always used those Samaritans, didn't he? Oh, them old Samaritans, my God, you know, they're Samaritans. half-breeds, you know. I wasn't, they're not of the, you know, we'd be children of Abraham, you know. You know how that they thought back in it. But they were trained to think that way, wasn't they? They were trained that way. Just look at the rich young ruler. He validated himself by his riches and his dedication to God and those things. And he, yeah, that's who I am, you know. And in one sense, he was. He was. He was. He was. You know, and because Jesus marveled at him. Oh, he was in awe with him. You know, this guy's a. He's a good guy, you know. He's done those things. He's kept the law from his youth up, you know. And then Jesus told him, go sell all you have and just give it to the poor and come follow me. Wait a minute, Lord, if I do that, I'll have to bear a reproach, won't I? I'll lose my seat in the synagogue, won't I? I have to follow Jesus, my Lord. Because this says I'm of the, you know, I've done everything that's supposed to be right. But Jesus did things like that. He was trying to illuminate their minds and say, yes, you did things right, but there's something that comes within. It's from the heart. Someone, Brother Durham was talking about, you know, what is iniquity? And I hope I can quote this right. I might have to have somebody put it on the screen so I can read it. I think it's Psalms 28 and 3. Can you get that up there? And I hope I got the right number. Yeah, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. Now, look, here we get to the fine line. We're not talking about killing and doing all those things which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. The workers of the wicked and the workers of iniquity. This is a King James Version of what iniquity is, isn't it? Get down to the fine lines, isn't it? My Lord. And that's what Jesus was saying. We're getting down to the fine lines here. Let's do good, but let's get to the root of the matter. To the root of the matter, to the heart. And that's what we want to do in each of our lives, don't we? We want to get to the root of the matter. And we want to find ourselves sitting in our right minds. And being clothed with righteousness and having of those things in our heart that pertains to the Word of God. And I'm thankful to be here.
Thankful I am that my brother's alive today. I want to thank you all for your prayers. Most of you know what happened to him on Monday. He was in his semi, and I just wanted to give you some more detail about how God had his hand on him. He was coming through Harrison, and if you turn left at that, after you come through Harrison and you turn left at that Taco Bell and you head towards Little Rock, there's a come and go on the right-hand side about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles down the road, and there was a man about three vehicles behind him, and he seen him driving erratically, and right before the come and go, he seen him jump the curb and head right for the gas station. And all of a sudden, and if you've ever been through there, at 12:30 in the afternoon, there's never not any traffic. I mean, it's really busy. And all of a sudden he, or I don't know what happened, but the wheel turned right or left. And he went across all four lanes and went across the street and hit an employee parking lot and hit. There was seven cars involved and there was nobody in any of them vehicles. There had been people in there 15 minutes before that during their lunch. They had been out in their vehicles sitting and eating their lunch. And after his vehicle stopped, the man that had been a couple of cars behind, he is a volunteer firefighter, and he pulled in there and he said he waited for him to get out of his truck, and he just kept yelling at him, and he didn't come, and so he opened up the door, and he said he was slumped over, and he was turning blue, and he knew he had to get him out of there. And you know, it's a really high, if you ever tried to get up in a truck, it's really high. And so he was yelling for other people to help him get him out of that truck. And they did get him out, and he performed CPR on him, and he could hear other people talking to him, but he said he just kept doing, you know, I don't know what they were saying, if they were telling him, you know, he's gone or, you know, but he said he just kept going and kept going. And the doctor said that if it had not been for that man doing CPR until the paramedics got there, he would not be here today. There is no doubt. And he wouldn't be himself at all if he did survive. And but he got him, he just kept doing it until the paramedics got there. And the paramedics do not carry defibrillators with them in Harrison. There happened to be a police chief that came on the scene, and he had his own in his trunk, and he got that out, and they were able to use that to shock him and get a rhythm. And and if it hadn't been for that too, he, you know, I don't know why they don't carry him, but anyway, he was able to get him back. And the doctors could not believe that he is with it as much as he is. He does have some short-term memory loss. I mean, he went in there Monday, was not even breathing. I mean, nothing. I mean, he just, you know, he had the respirator and everything. And then yesterday he went home. And it's just amazing how God worked through all that. And he knows that God had angels there for him. God put the right people in the right place at the right time. And it's just, you know, he said, I talked to him this morning on the way to church, and he said, I don't even have to ask you to request prayer. He said, I know there's prayers out there for me everywhere. And I just want to thank the Lord and thank everybody for their prayers.
Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it? Won't you be my neighbor? You know, it's good to be alive. you know, Brother Michael was talking about everything in this world is living is made up of an element of carbon, isn't it? We have two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, which we need, which is water. It's kind of strange that God decided to use those elements to make water, because they're both volatile. They'll explode, you know, but we need that to live. And I guess the reason why he chose those elements was because it takes water for us to live. And he chose that water to give us life and to give us eternal life. And, you know, because water will clean up a lot of things in our lives. It's the basis of everything that we have and everything that we do. It not only washes our clothes, it not only cleans up the world, but it gives us life. Without water, we can only last, what, maybe 8 or 10 days, and then we just dry up and blow away. But you know, back to what I was saying, it's great to be alive. But not only that, it's great to live for God and let God reign in our lives, because, like Brother Thompson said, he asked that man, that rich man, he done everything that it was, and all the laws and things, but God asked him, he said, go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away sad because he couldn't do that. And I think sometimes we do that with God. We, even though we're not rich financially, or we're not rich with a lot of the world's good, but we're rich in our own spirit. We're rich in our own devices, and we're rich in our own selves and things, and we sometimes can't give that up to give our all to God. I do that, and I'm guilty of that. But you know, I'm here today because I'm trying, and I think that's what everybody is here for. They're trying to give up their own life to let God rule and reign in themselves. I know this body of ours is pretty resilient. It can take a lot of abuse, and it can take a lot of things that has done it, because we sort of learn to adapt when things are done to us, and we sort of learn to adapt but at the same time our body goes into a shock. And it suffers for quite some time after you go through. I'm glad to be back. I really am. I went through an ordeal myself, and I seem like, if you want to take a vacation, don't go to the hospital. Don't go there. There's nothing there but just wrinkled old people, just like me. I was all wrinkled up and things, and they treat you like an old car. You know, if you need an oil change, they'll change your oil. They'll do everything they can to not let you rest. You can't sleep, even at night, you know. You think, boy, I'm sleeping good, and they'll come in and wake you up. Hey, brother, wake up. What for? I want to take your blood pressure. This hour, this night, at 12 o'clock at night, take your temperature, and all of that's included with this hospital plan. It's all included. And don't go there for the food either. it's not all that great. It's not. But you know, if it wasn't for the good doctors, I think God has allowed the medical profession to advance pretty broad, because they have got quite a few medical procedures that has not only been developed in the last 8 or 10 years that has pretty well advanced. And they can do things with this old body. Now, I'm still just as ugly as I was when I went in there, but they can do things to this old body that can make things work a little bit better, you know. But, you know, all in all, I appreciate being in the house of God. Aren't you? I'm glad for my Maker. I'm glad that God said, come and go with me. I want to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And when he brought us the Holy Ghost, didn't that make a change in our lives? Because doesn't it feel good when you got the Spirit of the Holy Ghost down in your heart and your body? It just seems like it just does things for you that you just can't even comprehend. And you know, when God is walking there beside you, and you know He's there, and you know that He loves you, and you know you can be at your lowest point in your life, and when you know God is still there, and He takes you by the hand, and He says, "Son, I love you." You know, it just does something to your heart, doesn't it? When you know there's a God out there that He has created this whole world, but when He looks down on us as an individual, and He looks at us, and He, no matter what we've done, but He takes and picks you up and sets you on a road and a path to righteousness, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? When God decides that and that He wants to touch your heart, and He deals with you, and that heart responds to God and turns and starts living for God, it makes your life turn around, doesn't it? It makes this old world, there's still a lot of good things in this world without all the sin. You can look and look at the things of nature, and look at the waterfalls and all the trees and the leaves and things out there, the little animals and things running around that God has created for our benefit. But when God touches our soul and sticks that life down in our soul, it just lights up your life, doesn't it? It does something in your soul and your heart that changes a hard-hearted person to a soft person that is kind to their neighbor, that is loving, and that is caring. And but anyway, I'll quit rambling on. I just wanted to get up and let God know that I appreciate Him. Don't you appreciate God? I do. I appreciate the Lord. I really do. I want to say here today that, you know, I want to take time out to say, God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for touching my heart and touching my soul and my spirit. You know, because a lot of times, what was it? Men that had leprosy, God healed those men, and you know they all left out there except just one. I think it was one of them, wasn't it, that turned back and went and thanked his Lord for healing him. The rest of them went on. I guess maybe they thought they were owed that healing. But there was there one man that turned and went back and said, God, I thank you for touching me. And I want to be like that person. I want to go back and say, Lord, I thank you, God, for being mindful of me and touching my heart and my spirit. I'm thankful, Lord, of that. God, I appreciate your touch on my life, and I appreciate you for helping me in my life. Aren't we all thankful? I'm thankful for that. I am. I'm thankful for God touching my life. I am. I appreciate him, and I appreciate his spirit for touching me. I know that there's still things that I'm working on, and it's like that song, He's Still Working on Me. He's still working on me. And so that's why we're here today, I think. God is still working on us. Brother and Sister Crow, they'll say the same thing. He's still working on them. But thank God they're here to be worked on. And I feel like I'm parked up in a garage waiting for a mechanic to pull me up to the front and start changing my oil and giving me a spark plug or two sticking a wire in me and see if my computer needs to be booted, you know, or what now then, because you can't hardly drive around anymore without a car with a computer in it anymore. I don't know why they did that, but, you know, I'm not the manufacturer, but anyway, I'd go back to the old kind. You got a single barrel carburetor stuck up there, and if it ain't getting gas and it ain't getting fire, it ain't going to run. That's the only three things you got to know to make one run. But anyway, I'm glad I'm here today, aren't you? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad and I'm thankful that God allowed me to be in the body of Christ. I'm like Brother Durham. He was talking here today in Bible study. I enjoyed that, but I want to get my mind off of the religious system out here and get my mind on the body of Christ. Because if we do, then we'll start learning the Word of God. We'll start learning of what the body of Christ really is and what it really represents. Because there was men in our past that had knowledge and the truth of God that has been trying to teach us throughout all these generations. And I want to have my mind open to receive that, if God will allow me. And so, anyway, I'm glad I'm here today.
Still.
glad Brother Jerry's still here. Keeps things spiced up around here. And the good testimonies today and wonderful things that we heard. Let's tie a loose knot in this, come back tonight. There won't be any band or choir, so go home and take a nap and get rejuvenated between services. You're ready to come back here and kickstart this thing back up. All right, let's thank the Lord before we go home. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you thanks.